Tonight, we expose the truth the propaganda media won't tell you. Violence by design. How Democrats fueled America's unrest. The uncensored and unfiltered truth starts now.
Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton there in New York City.
How are you?
David, we have a show. It is going to be controversial. So let me, I'm going to do this right off the top where there's no guesswork here, okay? We are members of the Evangelical Press Association. We are also in the media. As you can see there, Revelation Radio, KRRB, Revelation Radio News Network. We have the East Texas News as well. And in addition to that, KRRB, Revelation Radio, which we are a part, is a recognized tax-exempt religious ministry under Article 508C1A. And in addition to that, we are also a members of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And so the reason that I'm bringing all this up right away is just in case some crazy individual at YouTube decides that they want to take us down, because we will sue them. I'm done with it. I'm done. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Google can take their community values or whatever liberal socialist values that they may want, but mm-hmm. I'm sorry, you don't trump the United States Constitution. You just don't. Okay. So we are going to tell you the truth. We're not going to tell you something crazy. We're going to tell you the truth from a strictly conservative position, but again, mm-hmm. fact based. You can figure this out for yourself. Everything is fact based. So with that out of the way, David, would you please pray us in and give us God's help in getting this thing done?
Yeah, absolutely. Father, we know your word tells us to be light, salt, and leaven in the societies that we're in. So why we're not in this world, we're in this world, but not of the world. That's what I'm trying to say, that we are here to influence it. And your word ecclesia literally means government, where he says, I will build my government upon this rock, because it's the word ecclesia. So we thank you that we can bring your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We, Father, we ask that you would shine light on the things we're about to reveal to everybody, and that they would know that your kingdom is the true kingdom, and that they would receive you as their savior and come on board and join this one. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. Okay, I am going to show you guys exactly what we intend to talk about today. First of all, we're going to talk about the seeds of violence, words that ignite. And believe me, that's about all that we have seen over the past several years. Next, we'll talk about streets on fire, the riots, the looting, and the lawlessness. Then we'll go into the political violence itself, the deadly consequences of what has been brought upon us, or inflicted upon us, really. And then we'll finish things up with a judgment, a divided nation, and exactly what that means. And we know that nothing good comes out of a divided nation, that's for sure. So we will begin with this. Seeds of violence, words that ignite, the scriptural foundation on speech. Now, if you take a hard look at how simple words have set the stage for the most violent and divided America since the Civil War, we first have to understand that violence doesn't begin with fists or fires or mobs in the streets. Violence begins with words. It begins when leaders, celebrities, and institutions take language and purposely twist it into a weapon and aim it at their political enemies. And make no mistake, this has not been done by accident. It's all been done by design. The scriptures tell us plainly in Proverbs 18:1, death and life are in the power of the tongue. In other words, words have the power to breathe life into a nation or to strangle it. And right now, America is suffocating under the weight of reckless, inflammatory words from an extreme elements of the Democrat Party, promoting nothing short of violent political insurrection. Now, for years, the Democrat leaders and their allies in the propaganda media, together with leftist entertainment personalities, have chosen to speak words that divide, words that inflame, and words that incite. They don't debate ideas anymore. They brand their opponents as enemies. They don't argue policy. They declare war on people. And that hateful language has consequences, deadly consequences. Let's take a look at the record as it stands. In 2018, Congresswoman Maxine Waters took the stage and shouted to her supporters, "If you see anybody from the cabinet, in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gas station, you get out and you create a crowd and you push back on them and you tell them they're not welcome anymore anywhere." Now, that wasn't harmless talk. Within days, mobs were chasing Trump administration officials out of restaurants, families were harassed at gas stations, people were stalked in grocery stores. Very clearly, the words were spoken and the actions followed. In 2020, Senator Chuck Schumer stood on the steps of the Supreme Court naming Justices Gorsuch and Kavanaugh directly saying, and I quote, "You have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions," end quote. Now, these are, again, are his words. Within weeks, a man armed with a gun, a knife, zip ties, traveled across the country with the intent to assassinate Justice Kavanaugh at his home. Now, that's just a little bit of an idea of words. Now, in 2020, President Joe Biden delivered what has become known as the Red Speech. He stood outside the Independence Hall in Philadelphia, flanked by Marines, bathed in blood-red light, and he declared that millions of American citizens who voted for Donald Trump were semi-fascists and a threat to democracy. Now think about that. Tens of millions of law-abiding Americans smeared as enemies by the state by the President of the United States. Again, the words were spoken and the actions followed. Harassment increased, violence escalated, and the nation fractured even further. But it doesn't stop with politicians. Hollywood piled on. Madonna told a crowd of protesters she had thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House. Kathy Griffin posed with a grotesque photo holding up a fake, bloodied, severed head of Donald Trump. And rapper Snoop Dogg released a music video where he literally shot a clown dressed as Trump. Actor Johnny Depp stood on stage in Europe and asked, "When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?" All these words broadcast around the world, all of them sending the same message. Violence again against conservatives is totally acceptable. All of this is culturally conditioning our nation, with the propaganda media amplifying it and leftist universities preaching it. The next generation is being forced to absorb. Kids on TikTok and Instagram repeat slogans like "punch a fascist" or "resist by any means necessary." True Christian churches are mocked as Christian nationalist breeding grounds. All of this is direct, fully verifiable, and obvious chain reaction of true hate speech. We have to ask, is this new? No. History shows us exactly what happens when leaders weaponize rhetoric. In the French Revolution, Robespierre used fiery words about enemies of liberty. Soon after, the guillotines ran red with blood. In the Russian Revolution, Lenin and Trotsky used slogans about justice for workers. It ended with gulags, starvation, and mass graves. In Nazi Germany, propaganda painted Jews and political opponents as vermin and parasites. The words came first. The camps came after. In Rwanda in 1994, radio stations broadcast the term cockroaches for Tutsis. Within weeks, neighbors slaughtered neighbors with machetes. Words always precede violence, always. And that brings us back to today's America. Democrats and their cultural allies are doing what every failed regime before them has done, using language as a weapon to vilify, to divide, and to justify hostility. It's not harmless. It's not just politics. It is violence by design. The Bible foresaw this. James chapter 3 calls the tongue a world of iniquity that defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. Genesis chapter 11 tells us that at Babel, humanity united with one voice in rebellion against God. And Revelation chapter 13 warns that in the last days, a beastly system will be given a mouth to speak great blasphemies. Think about that. The rise of the Antichrist will not begin with armies. Instead, it will begin with words. David, there's a lot there. Take on what you want.
Yeah, a lot of words.
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't know if you got hold of this, but this just came out today.
Okay.
Democratic Representative Eric Swalwell of California and told CNN News Central that the House Democrats plan to go after private citizens working with the Trump administration following the indictment of FBI Director James Comey. So it's the same old story. They're going to go on and on here. But it's like this. When you can't win for being right and having the truth, you have to force people to do it.
Right.
You know, it's like communism. It's so good, we have to force you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we are. And what I see, though, is a great separation. What happened with Charlie Kirk last week, couple weeks ago now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, their nations all around the world are rising up.
Yes.
And they're saying, no more. We're not going to do this anymore, because they're starting to see. So the vast majority of people are somewhere balanced, or a little bit left, a little bit right. You know what
right.
I mean?
In the middle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's where most people are. But what's happening is they've gone so far libtard that, we don't want to go around killing everybody. So now they're literally abandoning 90% of their people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, and then they come up with this ridiculous nonsense like queers for Palestine. Excuse me? Go to Palestine as a queer and see what happens.
Yeah, they will be immediately killed.
Yeah, and women for Palestine. They don't allow women to talk over there. So it's just, I don't know where else it would come from a human mind.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I can think of is these people are somehow promised this power, and their brains have been deceived. And that's what God said in his word. He said, they'll become so anti-God. They'll want nothing to do with him, so he gives them over to a great delusion.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually start to believe this. So it's definitely a spiritual thing. And it's the great separation of the end of the age. I mean, we could see it. Matthew 13:30 says, let both grow together until harvest. That was when the evil one came in and planted the wheat and the tares.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, let them both grow together until the harvest. In the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you in the tares first and bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now you say, what's the picture here? Now, if we're agriculturalists, look, I said it all in one shot.
You did good.
Basically, wheat and tares look the same the whole time they're growing until it's time for harvest.
Right.
And what happens is the wheat will actually bow down and produce fruit.
Mm-hmm.
It'll have the little wheat seeds in it. Okay, where right. the tares don't, they just keep on growing up.
Right.
So that's they say, well, gather the tares first, because if you gathered them before, you would rip up the roots, and then the wheat wouldn't be able to grow.
Right.
So imagine if God just tore the church apart, 100 years ago, and took all the tares out, and it might have destroyed the church. So he said, let them grow up, and then at harvest time, it'll be easy to separate them. You'll know which one's which,
right.
And that's where we are. I mean, Candace Owens has gone further off the deep end today. I don't know how much deeper you can get with that, but that's the whole idea. And then, Tucker Carlson, the same idea. He's actually funded by Muslims, his whole new media thing. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah.
But you're starting to see, and he says, Satan will come with a gospel so close it'll look like it. And you'd like, so close, you're like, oh, I don't want to denounce them because they're saying this and this and this right, but it's always that 1% of poison in the 99% of delicious, nutritious rat food.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, simply because we've got so much to talk about, I'm going to go ahead and move on to the next one here, and that is Streets on Fire, the riots, the looting, and the lawlessness. Now, in the last segment, we examined how reckless words by Democrat leaders, celebrities, and media figures have ignited a firestorm of division in America. Now we turn to what happened next, and how these words were turned into actions, and how hate-filled leftist political rhetoric became riots as streets of America literally burned. In the summer of 2020, that will be remembered as one of the most violent and destructive seasons in American history. More than 600 riots erupted across the nation. At least 25 Americans lost their lives. Over 2,000 police officers were injured. More than 14,000 arrests were made, and the financial toll was staggering. Over $2 billion in insured damages, the costliest riots in U.S. history, beyond the numbers. What was witnessed was a political party excusing, minimizing, and in some cases even encouraging chaos in the streets. Look at Minneapolis, where it all began. Following the death of George Floyd, a peaceful protest quickly turned into violent uprisings. By the second night, rioters had surrounded the 3rd Precinct police station, and officers were ordered to evacuate. That station, a symbol of law and order, was abandoned to the mob and set on fire. Now, honestly, think about that. In the United States of America, a police department was surrendered to rioters. That image alone told the world that the chaos now ruled in American streets. Now, but it didn't end there. Across Minneapolis, more than 700 businesses were burned or looted. Family-owned restaurants, grocery stores, and pharmacies all gone. Entire blocks reduced to ash. And who were the victims? Not the wealthy or the elites. It was the ordinary working-class citizens, many of them immigrants, many of them minorities. Those are the people who lost everything. Now, next in Portland, Oregon, riots stretched on for more than 100 consecutive nights. Night after night, federal courthouses were attacked, police officers pelted with bricks, explosives, and Molotov cocktails. Antifa operatives blinded officers with high-powered lasers. Businesses downtown boarded up permanently. Families fled the city, yet Portland's mayor, together with the propaganda media, called it mostly peaceful protest. And to make it worse, the governor refused federal assistance, choosing politics over the safety of her citizens. Next in Seattle, you've got radical activists seized control of several city blocks and declared it an autonomous zone. They named it CHAZ, later CHOP. Police were barred from entering. Law-abiding citizens trapped inside begged for help. And what happened? Shootings, robberies, sexual assaults, teenagers murdered in the streets, parents grieving while officials stood by. Seattle's mayor called it a summer of love, when actually it was a summer of lawlessness. Now, in Kinshasa, Wisconsin?
Kenosha,
I'm sorry. Violence erupted after police shot a man resisting arrest. Entire blocks were burned. Car dealerships destroyed. Churches vandalized. A community ripped apart. But Democrat leaders again excused it as righteous anger. In New York City, the council voted to cut $1 billion from the New York Police Department budget. The result of this action? Shootings nearly doubled. Murders surged, and families left the city. In Chicago, homicides reached levels not seen in decades. And in Portland, homicides skyrocketed after the city disbanded its gang unit. Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Philadelphia all saw organized mobs loot, burn, and terrorize with near impunity. And in every case, it was the same story, with Democrat mayors, Democrat governors, and Democrat prosecutors refusing to act. And this was not negligence. In some cases, it was outright support. Then-Senator Kamala Harris promoted a bail fund that freed rioters, arsonists, and looters the very same night that they were arrested. Violent offenders were back on the streets before the smoke cleared, and Democrat politicians openly praised these groups as agents of justice. This was not democracy. This was organized, sustained, and political lawlessness. Okay, let me see here. I think I've got, I've got a couple more going. For some biblical perspective here, the prophet Isaiah wrote in 59:14 that justice is turned back and righteousness stands afar off, for a truth is fallen in the street. That verse could have been written for America in 2020. Truth literally fell in the streets alongside broken glass, burned out vehicles, and shattered communities. David, one of the ones that I can't pronounce properly, I'm going to let you do it.
Habakkuk.
1:4 says, "Therefore, the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted." Law paralyzed, justice perverted. That's what happens when leaders refuse to enforce the law. And Jesus warned in Matthew 24:12, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Now, that's exactly what we saw. Neighbors turning against neighbors, mobs against business owners, all in a culture where compassion froze and hostility took over. But perhaps the most dangerous outcome of all this was the precedent it set. Rioters learned that they could burn cities and face little consequence. Antifa was dismissed by both Democrats and the propaganda media as a myth. Black Lives Matter leaders raised millions of dollars for themselves, but they bought mansions and delivered nothing to the devastated communities, all while Democrat politicians learned that chaos could be used as a weapon and that fear and division could weaken America while they tightened their personal grip on power. And I've just got one more here, David, and then you can take the rest of the first half here. All this was not spontaneous or random. This was violence by design, and the cost was paid by ordinary citizens whose only crime was wanting to live in peace. Again, the book of, say it again, David.
Habakkuk.
Okay. "How long, O Lord, shall I cry for help, and you will not hear, or cry to you, violence, and you will not save?" Now, that cry echoes in our cities today. Violence in the street. Leaders are silent, justice absent, but God sees, and his word tells us this. Lawlessness is a sign of the last days. These riots, this chaos, and this collapse of order is not just political, it's prophetic. So where does that leave us? With a choice. Either America restores law and order, or America collapses under lawlessness. Either leaders stand for justice, or God's judgment will fail or will fall on a nation that celebrates violence. What we've seen, what words can do. We've seen what happens when words become riots, and we've seen what happens when leaders excuse rebellion. America is on borrowed time, and unless we turn back to God, the fire that started in our streets will consume our entire nation. Now, in the second half of the show, we're going to examine the deadly consequences of political violence and how demonizing your opponents leads to assassination attempts, attack on churches, and a two-tier justice system that punishes the innocent while promoting or protecting, I should say, the guilty. So what do you got to say, David? You can take the rest of the first half.
Oh, terrific. There's a lot here, and these are just the modern times, but this has been highlighted throughout history. And it's specifically for the reason of separating the sheep and the goats and the wheat and the tares. God consistently talks about that. There'll be some on the left hand and some on the right hand, and you want to be the ones on the right. Now, let's see. Matthew 3:12 says, "Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, and he will burn up the chaff with an unquenchable fire." And he talks a lot in Matthew about this. 7:13, "Enter ye the straight gate." And that really means a very narrow, hard-to-get-through passageway. Not really like a gate as we think, oh, this is a small gate. It's a picture that you come up to a mountain and there's this crevice that you have to crawl through to get through it to the other side. But over there, there's this giant, broad, open plain. He says, but the treasure is in that straight gate. He says, "Enter in that straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Because as straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads to life." So we have to make sure that we do that. Mm-hmm. And we talked about the wheat and the tares. Now, Matthew 13:49 says, "So shall it be at the end of the world, when the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just." So we're going to see that too. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be, as we can see, the rapture comes, takes a church out to go to the wedding. And I'm exploring some things now that it's, I know some people that think that the entire body of Christ is not necessarily the bride. It's like a special subset. Mm-hmm. So we're going to look into that too, because I know a lot of Christians who are just like, oh no, we're not the bride and there's no rapture and this and that and the other. And I'm starting mm-hmm. to think maybe they won't come with us. I don't know. And so we're going to explore that as well and keep our hearts and minds open. But at the end of this age, the angels will come forth and will separate them, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. And the wicked are just going to be gone. Now, we see that in Sodom and Gomorrah, too. All the debauchery that was there, and he gave them enough time. He warned them. And then he snatched Lot out at the very last second. You know, the angels literally grabbed his hand and dragged him out. Another rapture picture for you. Uh-huh. So in Matthew 25, it says, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goat, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Luke, the rich man and Lazarus. Okay. Remember that one?
Yes.
That was a good one. Mm-hmm. So remember that in thy lifetime you receive good things, and besides all this, between us there's a great gulf fixed. So there's that separation there as well. Even in Hades, when they were just waiting for the resurrection of Christ, there was a great gap that he couldn't even bring a drop of water to put on his tongue. Right. That's how big the gap was. Mm-hmm. And in John 5:29, and it shall come forth that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So we'll all be resurrected, but where are you going after resurrection is the question.
Yeah, that's the big one.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in Romans 2:6, it says, who will render every man according to his deeds to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to them who are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath. So all these people that are doing all these things, they're promised whatever, or they got something in their mind, or they're just mad at God and say, well, I'll show you God. Mm-hmm. Okay. You're not going to show God, but you will, in fact, inherit indignation and wrath. Okay. Because the absence of love is exactly this, indignation and wrath. So I would highly encourage you to receive the Lord Jesus. He paid for your debts. He loved you enough to say, I'm going to pay that all off. And then you can come in the rapture with us. We'll see you guys in the second half. Bye.
The Last Christian Radio Show is 100% listener supported. For every broadcast and message, we rely on you to keep this mission alive. You can donate directly at lastchristian.net, where every fully tax-deductible gift matters. Or you can help by purchasing the everyday products you already use from our trusted partners. The Conservative Store, Everyday Dose Coffee, Prima Ancestral Protein Bars, and Christian Book. And now, through our partnership with the Israel Institute of Biblical Studies, you can register for courses that take you deeper into the Word of God. Students save 30% on individual classes and 45% on group courses. Remember, every donation or purchase through our links helps fuel this ministry. So visit lastchristian.net today. Stand and pray with us and support the mission.
Have you ever wondered what lies beyond the veil of what we call reality, what the mainstream refuses to acknowledge and the church too often fears to confront? Every night at 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, Shadows of a Greater Reality dares to pull back that veil, exposing the hidden, the mysterious, and the prophetic. Hosted by Nestor Arce and David Paxton, together with guest experts from around the world, this gripping hour explores the supernatural, the unexplained, and the biblically prophetic connections that are shaping our world in real time. From shadow governments to spiritual warfare, ancient prophecies to current day phenomena, if you think it's just conspiracy, think again. Tune in nightly at 10 p.m. Central to Shadows of a Greater Reality right here on Revelation Radio, where nothing is filtered, nothing is censored, and nothing is off limits. Because the truth is stranger and more urgent than fiction.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas, and that's Mr. David Paxton there on the left-hand side of your screen. And, David, we are going to jump right back into it. Long way to go here. Political violence, the deadly consequences. Now, we've seen how Democrat rhetoric has lit the spark and how those words turned into riots that set America's streets on fire. But what happens when words, riots, escalate into outright political violence, assassinations, multiple assassination attempts, attacks on churches, and assaults on everyday Americans? Now, violence doesn't happen in a vacuum. Instead, it is cultivated, encouraged, and even justified. And in America today, Democrat leaders and their allies have spent years demonizing conservatives, Christians, and patriots. They call them Nazis, fascists, extremists, threats to democracy, and once you dehumanize a group, violence against them doesn't feel like a crime anymore. It feels like justice. We've seen this pattern unfold time and time again. In 2017, at a congressional baseball practice, a man who was an active supporter of Bernie Sanders opened fire on Republican lawmakers. Congressman Steve Scalise was shot and nearly killed. Others were wounded. The shooter's social media was filled with leftist rhetoric. He'd been told day after day that Republicans were evil, that conservatives wanted to kill people, and they were enemies. He believed it, and he acted on it. Now, in 2022, a man armed with a gun, a knife, and zip ties traveled across the country to assassinate Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh at his home, and even confessed his motive as anger over the court's abortion rulings. Finding justification from leaders like Senator Chuck Schumer, who stood on the steps of the high court and threatens that she'll pay the price. Now, who could forget the wave of attacks on churches and pro-life centers after the reversal of Roe v. Wade? Across this country, buildings were vandalized, firebombed, spray-painted, and with threats like, if abortions aren't safe, then you aren't safe either. Dozens of centers that served mothers with diapers, food, and counseling were targeted. Churches were defaced with satanic graffiti. Congregations were terrorized, but Democrats said almost nothing. Just an unbelievable silence, with some even accusing the violence as understandable outrage. It's time we understood that silence in the face of violence is complicity, and selective outrage is hypocrisy. On college campuses, conservative speakers have been assaulted, shouted down, and silenced. Students who invited them faced threats and intimidation. Administrators looked away. The doctrine of speech is violence was used to justify real violence against those with different views. Ben Shapiro and others required heavy security just to speak, and Charlie Kirk was assassinated simply for expressing his conservative Christian viewpoints and encouraging debate. Now, we can't forget that everyday citizens across America, people have been assaulted simply for wearing a red hat, flying a flag, or putting up a campaign sign. Elderly men punched in the face, women shoved to the ground, families threatened at restaurants, police officers ambushed in their cars. This is the reality of a culture poisoned by constant left-wing violent rhetoric. What we've witnessed in recent years is not only political violence, but the emergence of a two-tier justice system, a system where conservatives face the harshest penalties while leftist rioters walk free. Take January 6th, where hundreds of Americans walked for the most part in a truly peaceful protest into the Capitol. Many even escorted through open doors only to be treated like terrorists, tried, convicted, and imprisoned. With elderly veterans even locked in solitary confinement, nonviolent grandmothers facing years in prison, families bankrupted by legal fees, all while Antifa and BLM rioters who burned police stations, attacked courthouses, and firebombed vehicles were released in the same night. Both the Department of Justice and the FBI were weaponized against conservatives and Christians, while parents who spoke up at school board meetings were labeled domestic terrorists. Pro-life activists were raided at dawn by armed agents in front of their children, while leftist extremists who firebombed churches were ignored. Now, that's not justice. That is truly tyranny. The Bible says in Isaiah 5:20, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness." And that's what we're seeing. Violent mobs are praised as seekers of justice, while peaceful Christians are condemned as threats. good is called evil, and evil is called good. In John 16:2, Jesus warned us, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering service to God. Now, that time is now. Radicals believe violence against conservatives, against Christians, against pro-lifers is not just acceptable, it's righteous. They think they're serving justice when in fact they're serving both rebellion and Satan himself. Revelation 6 described the rider on the red horse to whom was given the power to take peace from the earth so that people should kill one another. Now that prophetic picture is unfolding before our eyes. Peace has been removed from our nation. Division reigns, hatred grows, violence spreads. Again, this is not random or accidental. This is not just the result of heated politics. This is by design. When Democrats demonize half the country, when media amplifies that message, when Hollywood normalizes violent imagery, and when justice is applied unequally, the inevitable result is political bloodshed, and that blood is on their hands. Got a couple more here for you, David.
Okay. Let's
see if we can get it up here. Okay. And again, now the Bible says in Isaiah 5:20.
You read that one. You got to go back to the other.
Oh, did I? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah. Let me see. Did I read this one yet? No. Okay, so history bears this out. In every authoritarian regime, Stalin's Russia, Mao's China, Hitler's Germany, and Castro's Cuba, violence against political opponents was justified, excused, and normalized. The same pattern is emerging here. Dehumanize, demonize, justify, attack. And all along, leaders stand by and call it progress. America cannot survive this path. No republic can endure when violence replaces debate, when bullets replace ballots, when courts are threatened and churches are burned. The United States was founded on the principle of ordered liberty. Remove the order and liberty collapses. But Scripture gives us hope. Romans 12:21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's our calling, not to shrink back, not to cower, but to stand firm, to speak truth, and to overcome. We must demand equal justice under the law. We must protect churches, families, and institutions from attack. We must refuse to accept political violence as normal. And above all, we must turn back to God, who alone can restore peace. Because if America continues on this course, if Democrats continue to excuse violence, if media continues to justify it, and if justice continues to be weaponized, then judgment will come. Not just political collapse, but divine judgment on a nation that calls evil good and good evil. Okay. David, what do you got to say?
Who's that Uncle Fester, that Democrat in Pennsylvania that doesn't wear a suit?
Oh, yeah. Fetterman. I'm beginning to like him.
Close enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's actually he's starting to sound normal compared to the Democrat Party. He's like, I don't want to hate these people. I'm not going to shoot anyone. So it comes all down to that. Uh-huh. Now, this just shows us we're right at the end. Again, we're just going to can't fathom the idea that people would even think like this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a combination that the crappy food they've been giving people and all the drugs, you know, pharmakia, mm-hmm. Throughout the Bible, it talks about that in the end that people will be delusional. And there's usually some form of abuse or something like that that is disrupting people's moral compass, if you would. But you read Isaiah and 5:20, you know, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. And people quote that all the time, but there's a bunch of other ones.
Yeah.
Now, in the corroborating passages, we'll say. Now, you know Malachi, right? The Italian prophet?
Malachi.
Oh, that's
okay.
It, yeah.
Okay.
In 2:17, it says, you have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? So this is where these people at. It's like, listen, you're really pissing off God, okay?
Right.
He's like, well, how? What do you mean? And when you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them, or where is the God of judgment? So it's exactly these people that say, oh, I'm just, you know, I'm doing the work of God. And he's like, no, sorry. Proverbs 17:15, he that justifies the wicked and he that condemns the just, even they both are an abomination to the Lord. And that's exactly what we're just talking about. They mm-hmm. justify the wicked. Okay. And here they let all these fire bombers and rioters out. Well, but they lock up grandma because, mm-hmm. you know, some security guard opened a door and said, "Hey, come on in and look around." Right. Now, all of a sudden, they're locking her up for a few years, mm-hmm. Which happened. It's not an exaggeration, folks. But good news, Comey's going to get caught for that. Uh-huh. They should lock him up for every single year that every single person, just add them all together. Mm-hmm. So this guy we had a couple on our show. All the years, add them together and just give that to Comey and then see how he fares in prison. Yeah. we'll put him in the federal prison. He'll have fun over there. Mm-hmm. We'll call him Bubba. Hey, Bubba. So this is what we'll see. But God's justice is coming. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so John 16:2, it says, "You shall put you out of the synagogue, saying, the time comes, and whoever killeth you will think that he's doing God a service." Mm-hmm. Romans 1:25, it says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in it. So they know deep down somewhere that these things deserve death, but they're like, no, we love it, and we're going to have pleasure in those that do the same. All the stuff we're seeing today, and it's getting highlighted bigger, better, faster. So the end is near, folks. Jesus is coming. 2 Timothy 3:1, it says, "This know also, in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, without natural affection, despisers of those that are good." And there's a long litany of all the things in there, mm-hmm. if you read that. And 2 Thessalonians 2:10, "Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." So they were offered salvation. Mm-hmm. We offer it to them all the time. And just as an example, Charlie Kirk offered it all the time because of his, "Hey, let's just talk about it."
Yeah,
we're on different sides, but let's talk about it. So he offered them the love of the truth that they might be saved. God shall send them a strong delusion that they will believe the lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had mm-hmm. pleasure in unrighteousness.
Yep.
More on a worldly, secular note, you know how Trump tweaks people, and he's a tweaker for sure. Mm-hmm. So now that, you know, he says, "Well, you know, this is a warning. Tylenol may cause autism in the baby, so just be careful." Mm-hmm. So now they all freak out and they start chugging Tylenol. It's like, so today, whoever makes a Tylenol, was it Johnson? The maker of Tylenol said exactly that, or of acetaminophen. It says, "Yeah, we're actually..." The study started to come back in 2018 that if you take it during pregnancy, we're finding that it may cause. Well, and so the truth comes out, but these people. So you see all the memes. Mm-hmm. Trump says, "Don't mm-hmm. drink your own urine." Mm-hmm. So they're all going to drink their own urine.
You know,
Trump,
David, says, "Don't put a plastic bag over your head." I actually wrote down the Tylenol thing while you were talking. I was going to bring that up. I really was.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So Trump is hinting.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Trump is hinting that, listen, you keep on doing this, and these people on the right, they're not going to stand for it much longer.
Here it is, David. I got it ready right there. President
there
Trump is warning possible retaliation against the radical left if attacks on ICE and conservatives continue, saying in part, the right is a lot tougher. Now, this came from the White House in Washington. President Trump warned last Thursday that right-wing Americans could fight fire with fire if the radical left continues to violently attack conservatives and immigration enforcement officers. The president stated, and I'm going to quote him here, "The radical left is causing this problem, not the right. It's going to get worse, and ultimately, it's going to go back on them. I don't want to see that happen either. I'm the president of all the people, but the radical left is causing this." He went on to say, now, "Radical left Democrats are causing this problem, and it gets worse. It gets worse. And it'll be a point where other people won't take it anymore. That will not be good for the radical left, and we don't want that. The radical left is causing the problem. They're out of control." Now, that came from the president, and I agree with it 1,000%. What do you say, David?
You really don't want to aggravate someone past their point. If they're in control and they're humble, mm-hmm. and they're very – so you don't want to get past that point, because all that energy that they're using to remain calm and civil, once you crack that open, now you're getting all that energy at once. And that's what's going to happen. Precisely what's going to happen is all of a sudden we got something similar to the 1776 going on.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I'm going to make a point here because, you know, in the very first of the show, we said, you know, it's going to be controversial. But I want to make a specific point here. We're not encouraging violence. Never have, never will. But we are stating that there's only so much that you can take. You know, there's only so much you can take, and they are really they're pushing it to the brink.
Yeah, okay. And they keep pushing, and they're doing it on purpose. They push until you do something. If anybody out there is watching all those videos of ICE and all this stuff, the people get in the way, and they'll just stand there in front of the car until you actually run them over.
Right.
I mean, they're actually pushing to that point, and then blame you for running them over. Yeah. It's like we pulled you out of the way, and you keep running back in front of the car.
Let's look at this now, David. Let's finish this up here. Tonight we've seen how Democrat rhetoric has weaponized words. We've seen how those words translate into riots and burned our cities, and how the lawlessness has escalated into political violence, assassinations, and attacks on churches. Now we must face the ultimate reality that a nation divided against itself cannot stand. Division is not just division is not just unfortunate, it's deadly. And when leaders profit from division and violence is used as a political tool, the truth is trampled, justice is perverted, and the reality becomes that judgment is not just coming, it's already here. The political side of this division is that for years, Democrats have thrived on chaos, fear, and anger as their greatest tools for mobilizing voters. Racial tension, class resentment, gender battles, endless us versus them narratives, all used to keep Americans at each other's throats. Every election cycle, it's the same pattern. Stir up fear, paint opponents as monsters, and then pose as the only solution. They ignite the fire, then present themselves as the firefighters. But the truth is, they are the arsonists. Consider the cycle we just witnessed. In 2016, the narrative was that Donald Trump was illegitimate, that his voters were deplorables, racist, unworthy of respect. In 2020, the narrative became that the Republicans were Nazis, fascists, extremists, enemies of democracy. Then in 2024, we heard the drumbeat that conservative Christians were Christian nationalists who must be watched. And today, the division is deeper than ever. It's not just disagreement over taxes or health care anymore. It's a division over the truth itself, over reality itself, over morality itself. And that kind of division does tear nations apart. Now, Scripture tells us about a divided nation. Jesus says it plainly in Matthew 12:25, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. Now, America is a house divided, and the cracks are showing. The prophet Isaiah wrote in chapter 3, verse 12, my people, children, are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, your guides mislead you, and they have swallowed up the course of your paths. Now that's a picture of failed leadership, of leaders unqualified, of leaders who lead others down a path to destruction. Today, Democrat leaders are more interested in social experiments than justice, more interested in pandering than in protection, and more interested in ideology than in truth. Romans chapter 1 describes what happens when nations reject God. God gave them over to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. Now, again, that's Romans chapter 1. We see that debased mind in the confusion over gender, in the celebration of immorality, in the rejection of God's design for family, for marriage, and for life itself. The fruit of that rejection is violence, division, and chaos. We must remember that division is not just a political tool, it's a spiritual strategy in Genesis chapter 11, where mankind united in rebellion at Babel. They said, let us build a tower to the heavens, lest we be scattered. God judged them by scattering their language and dividing their unity. Today, Democrats are leading America into a new Babel, uniting people not under truth, but under the rebellion against God, redefining morality, redefining family and redefining justice. But just as in Babel, judgment will follow. Only got a couple more here, David, and we'll be done. Mm-hmm. In Revelation 17, we read about Mystery Babylon, drunk with the blood of the saints, intoxicated with rebellion and a global system of chaos. The downfall being pride, arrogance, violence, and prosecution. And Scripture says the destruction will come in 1 hour. America's not immune. If we continue on this path, judgment will come suddenly, swiftly, and devastatingly. So the question is, what do we do? How do we respond in a divided, violent nation under judgment? First, the church must wake up. We cannot be silent. Ephesians 5:11 commands us, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Silence is complicity. To remain silent while mobs riot, while leaders deceive, and while justice collapses is to surrender to darkness. Second, Christians must be watchmen. Ezekiel 33 tells us that the watchman must sound the alarm when danger approaches. If he fails, the blood of the people is on his hands. Today, pastors, leaders, and believers must understand we are all to be watchmen. If we refuse to warn, if we refuse to speak, then we share the guilt. All right, just one more. Third, repentance must begin in the house of God. 2 Corinthians 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. The healing of America will not begin in Washington. It will not begin in Congress. It will not begin in the White House. It will begin in the church. Christians on our knees, in repentance, in prayer, in fasting, and in humility. Fourth, we must hold a hope, because even in judgment, God preserves a remnant. Isaiah 58:12 says, your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. Now, that is the calling of the church, to repair, to restore, to rebuild, not through politics, but through the power of Christ. And finally, we must never forget that true unity, true peace, and true hope will never come from Democrats, Republicans, or any political system. It comes only from Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. John 14:27 reads, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Today, judgment is already upon America. We see it in our streets, in our politics, in our families, in our culture, but judgment is not the end of the story. For those of us who belong to Christ, there is hope, there is peace, there is eternal security. And for our nation, there is still the possibility of revival if we will humble ourselves, repent, and return to the Lord. Remember this, violence in America has not been an accident. It has been by design. But God also has a design for redemption, for restoration, for peace. The choice is before us, judgment or revival, division or unity in Christ, the fire of rebellion or the healing of repentance. The future of America depends on which path we choose. Well, David, just like I did in the first half, I'm going to give you the rest of the time because I took a lot. Go ahead.
Oh, that was good. That was good. Got a lot of it. So, I think that the focus of what you're talking about is that there's a decision to be made here, and it seems to me that some people don't want to make that decision. So we're going to have an issue. So I see two things. This is the Jubilee year, and just before the final Jubilee period of 50 years to come, starting in March sometime, that'll be the final 50 years of the 6,000 years. So is that our relay time, just like 70 AD, but even Jesus was born, obviously, in the beginning of that, 33, he was crucified, and then it wasn't until 70. So is there a relay period that we have to move over to this next phase of the 1,000-year reign of Christ? Therein lies the question. But a bigger question is, you might not be here later on today, let alone tomorrow. We all know what happened. We've seen things where 1 minute you're just talking to people, and the next minute you're in the heavenlies. So now is the time to repent. And what happens after that? It says, the 2 Thessalonians 2:3 says, let no man deceive you by any means, that day shall not come unless there be a departing first. That was the original translation, by the way, by Tyndale and the Geneva Bible. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, for the mystery of iniquity, lawlessness already works. Even him who is coming after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Well, this world today is very willing to accept this person. Okay, they're willing to define someone who's going to say death to Israel and just look over the whole world now. And once the church is gone, or the bride is gone at least, then they're going to say, oh, look, now we really need a world leader, just one. But it's going to lead them down this awful path that they're still going on. Now, here's what happens. Revelation 9:20 says, and the rest of the men which were not killed by the plagues, because they already started, and yet repented not of the works of their hands, neither they repented of their murders, of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. So these people have been given over, and they don't even want to repent. They're like, no, we like doing all this evil stuff. But then comes Revelation 18:5. It says, for her sins have reached unto heaven. So God has been merciful and long-suffering this whole time. They're people are doing all this stuff, and he's not doing anything. And people say, well, where's God? Well, he's being merciful, so maybe some of these folks might come to repentance, okay? But there does come that day, and it comes quick. So watch this in Revelation 18. It says, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death, mourning, famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. That's the world for you, okay? It's going to come to that point where, you know, he says, let's it go, let's it go, let's it go, let's it go. And that's that humility. And it's kind of the idea that even you were talking about earlier with the humble man. He's going to hold it and hold it and hold it and hold it, but all of a sudden it's going to explode. And this is what we see with God happening here. He's going to be just like Methuselah. He gave him the lawful long time to repent, and he still didn't. The judgment came with the flood. Now this one's going to be burned with fire. Okay. That's not going to be a pretty picture. All right. Not only that, when you're alive and burning, but after death, it's even going to be worse, because now you have the concept that there's no possible way you can get out of it, and you will still have to bow your knee to Christ and say, blessed is he. That's it for now. I mean, you really need to receive Jesus. The time is short, folks. He paid for your sins. Let him into your life and accept his payment. Repent, and you shall be saved. In Jesus' name. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Thank you for joining us for the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. Remember, this program is only made possible by the support of people just like you. We receive no outside funding or corporate backing. Everything we do is sustained by those who believe in our mission to speak truth, stand boldly for Christ, and proclaim the gospel in these final days. Your partnership makes a real difference. A single monetary gift helps keep us on the air, while monthly and annual commitments give us the steady foundation to expand our outreach and reach more souls with God's Word. You can also stand with us simply by shopping with our affiliate partners. That's just another way to ensure this ministry remains strong and uncompromised. To learn more or to join us as a partner, visit lastchristian.net. Again, that's lastchristian.net.
Have you ever wondered what lies beyond the veil of what we call reality? What the mainstream refuses to acknowledge, and the church too often fears to confront. Every night at 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, Shadows of a Greater Reality dares to pull back that veil, exposing the hidden, the mysterious, and the prophetic. Hosted by Nestor Arce and David Paxton, together with guest experts from around the world, this gripping hour explores the supernatural, the unexplained, and the biblically prophetic connections that are shaping our world in real time. From shadow governments to spiritual warfare, ancient prophecies to current day phenomena, if you think it's just conspiracy, think again.
Tune in nightly at 10 p.m. Central to Shadows of a Greater Reality right here on Revelation Radio, where nothing is filtered, nothing is censored, and nothing is off limits. Because the truth is stranger and more urgent than fiction.